I'm James Beatty.
And I'm Sean Carroll.
And welcome to the Rebuild Health and Fitness Podcast.
How do you want to start it?
We'll just say
welcome.
All right, and welcome back to the Rebuild Health and Fitness Podcast. And today's a little bit different. Today we have Megan Brown on the podcast. So Megan is a trail runner and ultra marathon runner. The distances she covers to me and probably especially Sean are breathtaking and somehow incomprehensible to us. So Megan has represented Australia on the trails. She has raced in Patagonia. She's completed Kokoda over in Papua New Guinea. She's won many of the races of shorter distances. And by shorter, I still mean long. I think with running, everyone wants to be able to run, is a runner or loves running. But I think everyone has this idea of running, you know, in their mind. So that's what I'm looking forward to jumping into this and hearing the battle sort of Megan would have between the physiological effect and the psychological effect, which I think at each context of your running career can mean the same. Like to me, running 10K or 15K would be the same to you running 120K.
Yeah, 100%. It's all relative to wherever you are in your running.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think the popularity of running really sort of grew last year when everything got locked down. Everyone's like, well, I'm going to be a runner now.
Time to run. Yeah, I was going on my local runs and I had never seen so many people.
Get off my path.
I'll sweat on you. It was crazy. It was really good. It was nice to see everybody out doing it. Like, I love it. It's a great activity.
Yeah.
Like, the more the merrier.
So, Megan, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a little bit nervous, but good.
First podcast.
It is. We were making jokes about pod fright, but it could very well happen.
No, we're over it already.
Never heard that term before, by the way. Yeah.
Pod fright?
Yeah.
It's a new thing. All right. So take us back, sort of where you're from and sort of how did you grow up?
So I am a Brisbane girl. My dad was in the Air Force, so we did move around a little bit. But I always did sports at school. I have done so many different sports. I did basketball, netball, tennis, badminton. I was big into t-ball and softball probably throughout primary and high school, and always went to sports days. I didn't want to stay home. I was like, yeah, I'll go give it a bash. And then I started running. One of my friends asked if I wanted to do Gold Coast Half Marathon, and I said yes. I wasn't too excited about it. I think I ended up running it in 2 hours 12 or like 2 hours 20. I got to about 17K and then just walked the rest in and thought, I never have to do this ever again. Little did I know. And then here a few years after that, another friend asked if I wanted to do the marathon, which I thought was ridiculous. But again, I just, yes, girl. Yeah, sure, I'll do it. And I think I did that. My first one was like 4 hours and 10 minutes. So I was...
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I was like regular Joe out running just for a challenge and for fitness and didn't really understand or appreciate where it was going to take me. Yeah.
And what year was that?
That would have been, well, I can remember when I was 21 distinctly thinking this is the fittest I'm ever going to be. So that was, like 13 years ago, 12 years ago. Yeah.
So talk us through, before we go any further, talk us through some of the stuff that you've done to put into
your context. Accomplishments.
Here. Actually, after speaking with Kate the other day, I was wondering how many ultramarathons have I actually done. So that is a race that is longer than a standard marathon, so the 42K, and it was 22. So I've done...
How far is an ultra?
So it's anything over a marathon.
Right, so and that's pretty far.
About 50K onwards. So I had done, I think there was about 6 50Ks, 8 or 9 100Ks, 120K, a couple of 75s and 85. The list keeps going.
Wow.
And your longest?
Longest was 120. It was in the Dolomites in Italy. So very beautiful. It was breathtaking. But Oh my goodness, it was so hard. I just have never seen anything like it. And we actually went there 1 year, my husband and I both do them together, and we didn't finish it. So we went to do the 120. We ended up together. We came to the 100-kilometer checkpoint, so we were so close to the end, and we were having such a rough time. And they had at the checkpoint like all these baked goods and food, delicious drinks, and it started raining, and we just looked at each other and we were like, yeah, we'll call it. We'll camp here. We're like, yeah, okay. So we just food, drinks, sat down. We're like, nah. So we went back the next year.
Really?
I was like, man, we've got to finish this thing. So yeah, we went back and finished.
It's a little bit crazy though, because you're like, in my head, I'm going, but you're so close. You're only 20.
Yeah. You're only 20K away. It's further than I've ever ran in my life. It's like, God, bloody hell, lazy. 20, yeah. Nearly done.
I know. I feel the same. I look back and go, well, there was so much time within the cutoffs. We could have walked it in.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were just mentally both, not doing it. Let's just kick back here. So then we had to go back and try and swallow that one.
I always find it interesting, like, well, now I can finally find the answer to it. But like, you see all these like, you know, these long distance runs and all these like beautiful places. Do you get to appreciate it, or are you just like, head in the zone? Like,
I do. I really try and do. I was just down in Bright doing Buffalo. Yeah. So it's a 75K run. And I got to the top of the first climb, and I remember looking out and I stopped and thought, yeah, this is beautiful. This is so beautiful. I do try and stop and take it all in. Sometimes towards the end, and depending on what's going on, I might be a bit more focused. And
yeah. Do you think that helps you?
I do. I think the scenery does help. I don't know how I'd go with like on the loop races, like tracks, and I'm not sure if I would have the same energy or like mental strength from that. I think that's kind of a different ball game. But out on the trails, I love it.
We were saying that before. Again, we don't know because we don't
have 15 to 20 minute runs we occasionally do.
But we were talking, if I was to do ultras, like a trail, I believe would be nicer than a sort of road, you know, definitely.
100%.
Even though there's hills and terrain to fight with, but still.
I'm doing a bit of road running at the moment. So I'm doing Gold Coast Marathon, and I've been copping a bit of flack from my trail friends. They're like, oh, are you roadie?
Well, roadie. There's a few girls from our gym doing their half.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, they've been training hard. They've been training hard. Good on them. They're looking forward to it being done, I think. This might give them something today. It's like, listen, it's 21K. You know what I mean?
You can do it.
They're all going to do the marathon now.
So how did you get into it? Obviously, you said you'd done the half and then you got forced into the marathon, but it sounds at this point you still didn't love running too much.
It was still, I think, a fitness fitness activity. And then I would have been in my early 20s partying in a bit of a negative headspace. And I felt like I wanted to do something for myself, kind of find my own identity, find just a bit of self-reflection, and kind of having a family with a military background. So I knew all about Kokoda, Papua New Guinea. I thought I'm going to go and hike Kokoda. So I signed up by myself, packed my bags, went over, and I was the only person on the trek. So it was myself, the trek leader.
No way.
And
all right.
The porters.
Kidding.
Yeah. And well, here we go. This is happening. And it was amazing. It was life-changing. It was...
Can you talk us through what Kokoda is for people that...
Yeah. So it is from World War II, quite significant in the Australian military history. A lot of fighting occurred there. Really young soldiers. We went to Bomana War Cemetery, and the ages on their graves, like 16, 17, 18. And this track where they were fighting with the Japanese, the Australian soldiers were on, and had to retreat and go back. And it was hard to try and imagine being in that terrain and fighting and carrying your friends, and it was really incomprehensible. Like, I'm struggling hiking this with people and people helping me carrying my things, and I just, I couldn't imagine.
And how far is it? It's over a couple of days, so a few days.
So it's 96 kilometers, and we had 6 days. So you hike in the morning most of the day and then set up camp. And it ended up being my porter and I would leave the trek guide behind. So it was his first guide of the year.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, I was really hoping you were going to be someone unfit. Mm-hmm. And I've got off the plane and he's gone, oh no. Oh, I'm like, oh yeah, I love running. I'm really fit and I can't wait to do this. So he hooked me up with the really fit porter and we kind of just went off, and I had a book, so I would read the night before about the next part that we were doing. And we had to abseil over sections, like some of the trail had been, a landslide had washed it away. We got to a river, and because it was the wet season, it had flooded away the trails. So the guys out of vines and trees built a raft for me to go across this river on. It was just, oh man. And we were in one little village, and I'm, excuse my pronunciation, I think it's Irobawa. And I was sitting there and I was looking out, and there was like smoke from all these other little villages. And I had this feeling, it was so overwhelming, like I was doing exactly what I was supposed to be doing. I was like, this is where I need to be. I want to do more of this. Like, how do I get this feeling? So I came back. I was like, I've got to be outside on the trails. And I went to Walkabout Creek, bought a big paper national parks map, and I would just go running and walking around, and I'd like mark off each trail as I did it. I loved it.
So it really did something.
It did. It really changed, I think, the trajectory of my life. I came back and just been wanting to feel that.
We spoke about this the other week on our a podcast we did about like the importance of having discomfort and finding challenges in your life, like. And we don't really seek that out as much anymore, but you did, and it was like life changing.
Yeah,
change your whole trajectory that you're on.
100%. I couldn't have imagined what that trip being what it was, and I was so scared going over by myself, showing up, and I can still remember when I got off the little. I don't know what type of plane it was, but really tiny plane. And I got off at Popandetta, and there's just all these locals with machetes, and they're chewing betel nut. So it's a nut that gets you high and it makes your gums red. So there's and then this little white blonde girl gets off the plane, and I kind of for a moment thought,
because you're stereotyping at that point, right?
Oh, man. And then it just, couldn't have been better. It just was amazing.
Because isn't there places in Papua New Guinea where cannibalism is still a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would have been terrifying.
Well, we've got that predisposition to go to the worst case scenario. It's like, shit, I'm dinner.
I'm done. They'll hopefully talk to me.
So I didn't need anyone, so that's good.
Win.
So finished Kokoda, which is obviously a massive feat in itself. A lot of people do the Gold Coast one, which isn't obviously, they call it Kokoda. I think it sort of
replicates the distance. And
So
and has the spirit, doing it with the team and working together.
Yeah, so that's it. So obviously you came back, you started roaming the hills and the mountains, and then you started to, I gather, start racing or putting kilometers on?
I did Oxfam. So similar to Kokoda, where you do it as part of a team, a work colleague, hey, why don't we put a team together of four and we'll do Oxfam Trail Worker 100K? I'm like, yeah, that sounds really good. And I hated it. It was horrible. I think not doing, like, we hadn't done the specific training with all the hills and not having the right gear. So I wore hiking shoes and I should have worn trail shoes. I didn't enjoy it. And that dynamic of four people, especially work colleagues, just I got home afterwards and I got in the shower and I sat on the floor and I bawled my eyes out. I was like, well, that was horrible. Why would anyone want to do something like that? And then I think as a couple months went past and I was reflecting and I thought, I could have done better. I could have tried this, or, you know, I could have had these shoes or this pack or tried different food. And then I had heard, I don't know who from, but about people doing 100K races by themselves. And I kind of went, oh, that sounds crazy, a bit ridiculous. But I thought I might be a bit better if I do it by myself, and then I can control it and I can see what happens. And then, yeah, I signed up for Surf Coast Century 100K. It's down in Victoria.
So far.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I've signed up, so you're paying to do it.
Yeah. And how big are these events? Like, you know, it's a whole world in itself. Every sport is. Like, were you surprised how many people actually do this stuff?
Yeah. And the range of people, like, there is not one stereotype, body, age, you can't stand on the start line and assume anything from anyone. You just have no idea. I was blown away by the older people who were just so fit and just had that endurance and, I guess, that experience. Knew how to troubleshoot when something's going wrong and don't just throw a nani and say, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
That's me. That'd be me, though.
Yeah, I have done that.
And, like, how are you training? How did you start training for these 100K races? Were you just doing your own thing, or did you find a program?
I was just doing my own thing. I was stalking online everyone else's programs. There was a runner who I was obsessed with, Beth Cardelli, and I just sought out every interview she had done. I read her blog. I was like, I'm just going to replicate what she's doing. She's amazing. That's what I'll do. It worked. And then I did it by myself for quite a while. And then I think I got a bit of a step up when I first got a coach and we did heart rate training.
Yeah.
And that would have been about 2 years, and it was all heart rate based. And that was when I noticed a step up. And then I went back to being self-coached, and I probably worked more on pushing my endurance, like seeing what volume I could do, but not workouts specifically. So I got another bit of a step there, and then a year and a half ago I joined with the coach again, and it's been much more workouts specific, and I think I've got another step up then.
Yeah. So obviously you get into it. I think the zone seems to be a very popular thing, because a lot of people will just try and smash themselves on a 5K and they hate it. It's like, well, there's no wonder you hate it, right? But I suppose there's a time where you've got to cover the distance, and then you can even start improving the speed at the distance.
Yeah, 100%. And I, doing the heart rate training, I think was invaluable, because I didn't realize how hard I was running my runs when they should have been easy. Even now I kind of have to catch myself out and not do it when it's an easy day. Like, it's easy, it should be fun. Enjoy the run, like, I've no pressure for time. I even changed the settings on my watch so I can just see the time. I don't see pace or distance or anything. I'm like, nope, I don't want to get in my head.
That is so true, though. So many people get caught in their heads. You know, one of the things that I won't say hate, but really dislike, is that a lot of people will go out and say, do their 5K, and they all take a picture of it because they're proud of their 5K, but all of them say, yeah, it was pretty slow, but, like, they've got to, like, like, there's no reason there's no reason to say that. Oh, it was a 10K, but it was really slow. It's like, why are you saying that? You've got no need to say that.
People say that in ultras as well. You'll go, what event are you doing? And they go, oh, only the 50.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
That's insane. You're doing the 50K? Yeah. Oh, I'm not doing the 100. I'm only doing the 50, or I'm only doing the 20.
People greatly underestimate themselves, don't they? It's like, you're running 50K. The percentage of the population who would even think to do that is so small, and you're going to go and complete it.
Yeah.
Like, but because someone's doing 51.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a positive.
Like, I think that's quite cool how you sort of, obviously you've learned about how important managing your heart rate is in your runs, but now you're just sort of paying attention to the time. And again, I think that's one of those things that, a little off topic, but we sort of become not as in tuned with our body relying so much on technology to tell us like how hard we're working. Should we go faster? Should we go slower? Whereas like you're purely self-regulating a little bit more now, which is I think very, very, very cool.
And I also try and be very conscious if I haven't slept very well or I'm feeling really stressed or like days that Sam flies out for work, I'm like I'll feel a bit flat. So I'll go, all right, well, I'm not going to push myself really hard today. Yep. Have a bit of self-care and be a bit nice to myself.
You're joking, aren't you?
Oh, weird.
Self-care. Get on this run. How do you breathe?
Oh, in through my nose, out through my mouth?
So that's what? So that's, do you think about
really
much?
I don't think I really think about it.
So nasal breathing's obviously become a lot more popular now with, especially in through your nose is probably the big one, out through your mouth. When we try and get people to cover more distance, again, we are not running coaches, but I'll find just them breathing in and out of their nose will slow them down enough so they can actually cover some volume in the first place and then they can start to increase.
If I find myself getting stressed during a race, I will like take a few deep breaths in my nose, out through my mouth, or even in and out through my nose, then I'll probably consciously focus on my breathing, but I don't really think about it. I can remember when I first started running, I was always thinking about it and I'd kind of think myself out of breathing properly. I'd be like,
You see some people, you know, when some people are out running and you know they're working at a pace they can't maintain as well and they're just like constantly breathing through their mouth. It's almost like they're hyperventilating and then every now and then they slow dramatically and have to take a big breath in to try and like get their breath back again.
Yeah. We did Mackay Half Marathon last weekend and there was a guy within the first K next to me who was breathing really quite heavily in and out through his mouth and I thought, See you, buddy. You got a long way to go. Rough.
Am I right in saying you came second in that?
Was it?
Which is pretty incredible. That's incredible, right? It's incredible.
I didn't expect that. I'm like, road running is not my forte. And Sam's family is from Mackay. So we have gone and ran that with Carol, his mum. And then we thought, oh, we'll come up and we'll run it and we'll just all run it individually. And I was running it. And at 14K, I'm like, we might be on here.
I'm fucking going for it
now. I'm going. But the girl in first had roller skates on. She was amazing. I think she did an hour 19.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like my 10K time.
An hour. It's like, geez. An hour 19 for a half.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
Isn't it? That's so fast.
I saw a guy in America yesterday that did a half. It could have been in just over an hour in Crocs. Some people are wild.
Need to rub it in our faces. Yeah, Crocs.
I must find it comfy.
And what's your training volume like at the moment?
At the moment, so normally Mondays is an easy run.
What is your easy run?
So like 40 minutes or an hour 15.
I noticed a lot of runners will go and run for a time, not a distance.
Yeah. I haven't done distance for a really, really long time.
Yeah.
And then at the end of all my easy runs, I do strides. So 4x100 meters sprint, not full hard out sprint, but as fast as like I could comfortably maintain my form. Yeah. And then some drills. And then Tuesdays are a workout, and the workout has been 8x1K with 1 minute jog, 6x200 meters with 1 minute jog, which I never thought I'd be able to do that workout. When I first saw it, I'm like, you're going to be kidding me. That's a good one.
It's another really interesting point, though. Again, just from the people practicing for the half, they're just trying to stick distance and distance and distance. I think they're not doing any shorter runs with increased paces or any intervals. They're just going distance.
Just go, I'm running for as long as I can. And that's me.
And every runner that I will talk to or have a friend who's a running coach, and he'll say, do one big one and then do a smaller one that's a little bit more fast paced.
Yeah. And so my Wednesday after Tuesday is always another easy one. Maybe a bit longer though. So an hour and a half. Thursday is an hour 45. Friday's a rest. I was going mountain biking on Fridays, but now I just sleep. I love sleeping. I'm just sleeping and resting. Mm. And then Saturdays are a workout again and a long run on Sunday.
So how do you train for 120K? Like that would have to step
be a little bit more periodized.
Yeah. So the long runs get longer, so about 5 hours, and more specific. So that'll all be on trails and
like 5 hours just.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of chatting.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, yeah, and it's not all nonstop running. Like some of the steep parts, it's faster to hike up them.
Yeah.
So something I had to work on is power hiking. So hiking really fast up a hill. Yeah, sometimes it's just too steep to run. And then, yeah, trotting along. It's nice when you get a little gang together.
Yeah.
You can all have a bit of a chit-chat. Or we run with a guy, the professor, and he likes to just
That's so cool.
I'm all over that. I'm going to start introducing myself as that. Hopefully it clicks. Yeah.
Professor, he likes to just...
Sounds badass.
Just run ahead. So you're just never quite there.
Yeah.
So it's just like holding a carrot at the end of a stick. I'm going to get him on.
And is it true that you met your husband on a trail run?
I did. So we were Instagram friends. We were like, he thought all there was to me was running. Like, oh, that girl will be so boring. She's just all about running. And I thought, oh, he's way too cool. He'll never talk to me.
Is he the professor?
Super cool guy. No.
Yeah.
No. He's brownie.
Oh, he's brownie. Of course.
And then we were both at this 50K trail race and we ended up running together. And I was chafing the dream. I had really bad chafe.
Chafing the dream. I was like, did I hear a problem then? Yeah.
Chafing the dream.
Oh, man. And I was there like looking in between my legs and Sam comes up and I'm like, have you got any chafe? He's going, oh, my goodness. And he got out some Body Glide, gave me this tube of Body Glide. And I didn't even think. And I just shoved it down my pants. And I'm like, okay, thanks. And gave it back to him. And we had this joke between us that he kept it, without the lid on next to his bed for years to come. So that was how we met. And then we ended up running together. We were running, we were chatting. It was about 5 hours. So we chatted a lot. And then we got within 1K of the finish. Dropped me, sprinted off.
Listen, I think I can
understand.
I'm all for that. I'm brilliant. Like, I think that's fantastic.
Is this guy serious?
What? Winners win.
Done.
Yeah.
Winners win.
I've got to take what I can.
You've really got to love what you do and, you know, being a runner, you've really got to love running if you're willing to meet your future husband in the middle of a run. So at the beginning, like middle of a run. How does that even, most people are drunk in clubs and you're just being
me. It really set the tone for our relationship.
Yeah. What, perfect first date?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Perfect. I'll go for runs. And I struggle to run, or I hate running with other people. Hate it. Because if I'm talking, I can't breathe. So like it just absolutely knackers me out. But what I've read about sort of long distance running, trails running, a lot of people meet each other as they're running and a lot of them run together for hours on end and just chat
and eat. You got to be able to run and eat.
I can eat.
Can you eat while running?
Yeah. No. That's what I was just going to follow up with. Like during those like 5 hour sessions, like I'd imagine you'd have to fuel.
Yeah.
Pretty well and be pretty well prepared for those days.
So I would aim for about 200 calories an hour when I'm running. So I have spring gels and they're normally 180 calories. And then there's one that's 220. And then maybe like some banana or bar or whatever's going around. But you can also do liquid calories. So they also do like a liquid one with the electrolytes and carbs. And I always make sure I eat lots afterwards. And Sunday is always pizza and ice cream day. Yeah.
Well, it's important to get the energy up, right?
Yeah.
What about your hydration going around? Is that?
Yeah, I probably drink about 400 mils during my long run, an hour, but depends on how hot it is. Yeah. When it's in summer, I would drink more than that.
What about flat Coke? You've been through that phase yet?
Oh, I love Coke. It. Yep.
How do you make it go flat?
Let the bubbles go out.
Got to carry it around though for ages.
You just do it before. Bit of prep, mate.
I don't even mind if it's not flat. I'll just take the Coke.
So just burping and running. And
yeah. I really like during a race at the last checkpoint filling a flask with Coke and then I just it's like my little reward. Oh, I'm going to finish on Coke and like drink it. And
all right, so let's get into some. We'll go into like what was your toughest race? Because I think the mindset of a runner to this level is something that I want to.
I think this will be a really good contrast to talk about this race. So, Buffalo, I mentioned earlier, it was actually my second ultra that I ever did. So it's 75 kilometers with 4,500 meters of elevation. So that's really steep. Yeah. That's a lot of climbing. Yeah.
How much elevation?
4,500. So it's classified as a sky run, which, yeah, is basically a really steep technical race. And I didn't know what elevation gain was when I signed up for that event. I just saw the video online, the promo video, and I thought, that looks beautiful. Yeah, I want to run in those mountains and experience that, not thinking, how am I going to get – you have to get to that place by your own power, your own volition. So I signed up. I went down and I was chasing the cutoffs the whole day. I was crying. I just did not think that there could be trails that steep. Yeah. It felt like they had gone to the top of just this mountain and pushed a log down. Like, yeah. Yep, there you go. Go down there. Good luck. So I had a really hard time. And towards the end, I was coming up one climb and my headlight went out and I was so underprepared and I didn't have spare batteries, a spare light. So I just sat on the side of this mountain, waited for someone else to come, and they're like, yeah, come with us and follow our light. And it was so hard. I think it was 16 hours. I think I took 16 hours that time. And then this year I went back to do it again and it was just phenomenal. I had the best day. I didn't put any pressure on myself. I'm content to put a lot of pressure on myself. I kind of let it all go. I was like, I'm just going to have an adventure and enjoy a day out in the mountains, soak in the scenery. That's it. And I had the best time. And I could remember back to parts that I'd been on earlier thinking, oh my, that was where I cried that time. That was where I thought, I'm not going to do it. And I go, man, I feel really strong. And I won. So to go from being at the very back 7 years ago to this year winning was just like chalk and cheese. Is that chalk and cheese?
Yeah. It was incredible. Yeah. You know, them times where you're struggling in that the first time you did it and you're sort of really struggling, like you said, it's hard to sort of make the time points. Like what's stopping you from just stopping at that point?
Oh, I don't know. I think I just always have this internal chat. It's so funny to see where your thoughts go. But I just always come back to, like, you can do it. You can do this. Yeah. Just keep going. You can do this. Just keep moving forward. Even though then, like, within the next second, it can be, you can't do this. This is really hard. Yeah. But then I always do seem to bring it back to, just keep going. Just keep pushing. Don't think about it. Just do it.
I think it's so wildly underestimated how much self-talk can play a role in performance. Like, you know, your words fully create your reality and you're telling yourself your own story. If you're going, this is going to be the hardest bloody day of my life, then it is.
Yeah, 100%. And I wish I could have a recording of my thoughts. And I have pulled out of races before. Like, I definitely don't just push through all the time. But I can remember Sam and I comparing after one event some crazy thoughts we had. And I was at one point thinking, this is so hard. I hope I get injured or I hope something happens. Yeah. So I have a reason to not finish because this is so hard. But I still just keep going. And there was some dogs barking and he said he had the thought, I hope I get attacked by a pack of dogs.
Really?
And that's then I so can't wild. Keep going on. And we were like, who thinks that type of stuff? That's ridiculous.
But I think it must be really true to obviously think anything to get you out of it in that moment in time. Yeah. I suppose we've all been there in our own sports. I've got a friend, Tom, who was in the Marines. And at the end of your basic training for Marines, you have to do, I forgot. You have to do this big pack march. It's massive. It's like maybe 50 miles, rucksack on. But if you fail that test. Like, you can never become a Marine. So he passed it, but he had a friend snap his own arm. So he would never fail. So he had to get bought out of injury. So he actually had his arm against the rock and snapped his own arm. So he didn't have to. So, does that make sense? So he had to. Yeah. So then he didn't fail and he could redo it.
It's
in his head.
Crazy where your mind goes. You just never expect it. And it's just. And then sometimes you can have a like in Buffalo this year. And I was able to just stay ahead of it. And whenever I could feel it going into a negative space, oh, you're just here to enjoy it. It's just an adventure. Or talk to the person who's there. Oh, hey, how you going? Like distract.
Mm. And was that a skill you had to, you've worked on over time?
Yeah. And I think I've taken me a lot longer than probably other people to pick it up, like mindfulness. I see a lot of other runners and they just seem – maybe just from the outside, from me looking in, it just seems to be a bit more natural. But I think I've had to really work on it. And Sam is a really positive person. So when we met, I think his input also kind of helped change my thought processes and just to be more positive and not be so self-limiting. Now I'm always like, I don't know if I can do that, but I'll give it a go. I do something. Oh, I could do that a bit better. Like always trying to improve, always trying to, find a positive in it.
I suppose the situation is that you've chose to be there.
Yeah. You paid money to be here.
That's so crazy that people pay to just like do these torturous distances.
Yeah.
Even when people come in the gym here and they're like, oh, moaning and groaning, I'm like, you know, you do pay to come here.
You're actually ahead on payment.
Yeah. That's it. You go through. Do you listen to music or podcasts or anything like that?
No. I used to, but now I just don't like carrying the stuff. And I honestly just really like to see where my thoughts end up going.
Yeah.
I
could imagine people like struggling like hell and then you're just skipping past them like, hi, I've got a good day. just crying.
I sometimes think it must look quite funny. I was doing a training on one day and there's this climb on this South Boundary Trail near our house and it's like a bit of a long grind uphill. And I got there and some guys had pulled up in their car and they started at the same time. And one of the guys sprinted past me up to the top of the hill and I was like, oh, yeah, all right. Okay, I'm trotting up. Champion. Yeah, and then I got to the top and he stopped and goes, oh, I've got to stop because I'm waiting for my friend. I'm like, okay, yeah, no worries. And I kept going. And then maybe about an hour when I was coming back, I saw them again and they're walking along. And I came trotting up behind him and he's like, oh, you're still running. Oh, geez, you're doing all right. And I'm like, yeah.
Kind of a weapon.
That's it. We try and get people to sort of believe in their potential a little bit more, even though like where they started, you know, not to put a cap on their potential. You've just spoke to us about how much you hated the first half marathon you ever did.
Yeah.
Then you did a marathon, didn't enjoy it, to then going on and adapting to being able to run 120 kilometers, to then going on and winning races, running at a faster pace. Like just how amazing the body is. You know, it's very easy to say, oh, she must have just been a natural runner.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, and no way. I was not a natural runner. I often find myself saying that to people. I'm like, no. I wasn't in a school prodigy or out there just instantly at the front. Like, yeah, my first half marathon was really average and I didn't enjoy it. And then I think I've nearly taken an hour off that time in just consistent chipping away over the years. And it's, something I've grown to love.
It's going to be pretty bloody rewarding.
Yeah. I still can't believe it. Yeah. I sometimes go, what did I do that? That's really cool. Yeah.
So how much of running do you believe is physiological and how much of it do you believe is psychological?
Oh, I would probably be more in the psychological camp. Probably with my background, not being a runner. I say that with inverted commas.
People do things on podcasts sometimes with their hands. They're like, I heard this box like this big.
So if you look over here. I would definitely say more psychological.
I mean, you can get beaten a lot earlier in your head. You know, your body's pretty, your body's pretty adaptable and capable.
Yeah. And I struggle so much with that. Like I put so much pressure on myself sometimes before races that I'll just be exhausted before it even starts.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. So that's what I really need to work on, is letting go of the outcome and just being in the moment and trying different skills to see what works.
Yeah.
Like I have to pretend that I don't know the people around me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you start, oh, I know that person. I should be in front of them. Yeah. Or, oh, I shouldn't be near them. Yeah. I should be way back there.
Do you find when you started and then you sort of become free because it's new to you and it's free, but then you get a little bit better and you might start to get a little bit known and you people know. Do you then put more stress on yourself because now you feel like you have something to prove or something to maintain, or so a little bit of an ego?
I would say expectation.
Not emo and like a negative. We deal with any sort of sport and it's like,
I actually spoke to a guy. We were doing Brisbane Trail Marathon a couple of years ago and he said, how does it feel when you come and everyone just goes, oh yeah, she'll be on the podium. I said, I get really nervous. I really don't like people having that expectation, and I would sometimes just like to go and have fun and not really worry about any of that. But it is hard. It is also hard because I also have expectations of myself where I go, I've been training really well and I know that I can do really well here and should. But you just don't know what's going to happen or what someone else's, what their training is, and you can't control any of that.
Do you see yourself stopping?
No. So there was this picture in a magazine of this lady. She was quite old and she was wearing a pretty much exact outfit that I had. She would have been in her 70s with white hair. And Sam sent it to me and I was like, yeah, that's going to be me. Like, I think running will always be a part of our lives. And I have a goal to still be running, like, in my 70s, in my 80s. Like, if it's 5K little trails around, just bush bashing. I think it'll always be a part of my life. Well, I hope so.
Yeah. Well, you clearly love it. I think that's an amazing thing. So what was obviously you spoke about winning the race after a return of seven years. So what was your greatest race?
I also have a bit of a tricky one with the World Mountain Running Champs in Patagonia. So it was so great, such an honour. And I got the phone call, you've been selected to be on the Australian mountain running team.
Which is incredible.
I was speechless. I couldn't believe it. Like, what? This is ridiculous. Okay, let's do it. And then we went over to do the race and I was so excited and we started and it was just like, see ya. Everyone was so fast. It was so humbling. I'm like, all right, okay.
Cool.
Cool. There was this section where you went up into the snow and I'm like, that's what I want to do. I want to go up to the top of the mountain, try and run through the snow. So I'll focus on that. So keep going, chugging along. And I was just finding a bit of a groove. And at 9K, I rolled my ankle and I just, like, my heart sank. I thought, I'm here representing my country. I don't know if I'll get this opportunity again. And I've injured myself.
Bad?
Oh. Well, I had rolled my ankle before, so I heard it pop. So I was like, it's not nothing.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't condone running through an injury. But then I totally compromised that by saying, and then I kept running through my injury.
I think that's fair.
I got to like a creek crossing and it was really cold water. So I put my ankle in it and I was like, all right, what can I do? Well, I can pull out, but I don't want to, like, this is not an event that I want to pull out of.
Yeah.
And we also got a team result if all three of us finished. So I'm like, I've got to finish. We'll get a team result. So I'll just see how I go. So I just kind of tried to disconnect, which again, I wouldn't say is a good thing, but just kept going, got up to the snow and I like pack snow into my shoe. I'm like, oh, I'll just put some snow in there. That should help.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, help with that swelling. And then came down, finished, and I wasn't near the time, and Sam's like, oh, I knew something had gone wrong. So it was so amazing. Oh, and it really gave me a good kick motivation to be a faster runner. I was like, but And I also rolled my ankle and had a bit of a shocker.
How far was that race, sorry?
That was a marathon. So that was 42K and had 2,000 metres of climbing. So.
And you did 30-odd of that, the busted.
Yeah, with the rolled ankle.
Oh, no.
So that's a lot of adversity and a hell of a lot of resilience to even, you know, keep
cracking on. And a little bit
on.
Of stupidity.
But I think stupidity is fine at that point.
Yeah. What all the good athletes have. The right amount.
Yeah. You know, stopping's the easy option at that point. You know what I mean? And you just got to, you know, like I said, you're representing your country. You know what I mean? You're doing what you love.
Am I going to get this chance ever again? And I really wanted to run up in the snow. Yeah. And then I looked at photos of me running in the snow and I just look like I'm dancing at some 80s disco night. Like,
yeah. So you've not been back, obviously COVID, everything as well.
Yeah, and then COVID. And so the world champs are in Thailand this year in November, but I'm just like, no, that's off the table. So hopefully in the future it is something I'd like to try and redeem myself
at. The borders open up again.
Yeah.
So talk to us about this thing they call flow state when running, because I'm yet to I'm yet to
it
find
it.
Yeah. This flow state. So I've just got a definition of flow state, and then you might be able, I'm sure that you found it many a time. So flow state is like being in the zone. So it's a mental state in which a person is performing some activity, is fully immersed in the feeling of energized focus, fun involvement, and enjoyment of the process of the activity.
Yeah. Yep. I would say flow state to me is when I'm running and it just feels effortless and everything is working together and I just, feel like I'm flying, just loving life. I have had it on one trail run. I was running and I felt incredible. It was a beautiful day. I was loving life. Everything was just working together. And I can remember I had looked at my watch and then I had looked at it again after having that feeling and it had been nearly 20 minutes and it honestly felt like maybe 2-3 minutes. I was just on another planet. I just was loving life, moving really well, feeling really strong, feeling really positive. Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, and I think the thing with flow states is for people like wondering how to get them, it is through repetition of work, so things become natural. So your body is just purely
knows what it's doing.
It's almost like
memory
practice. It's like an out of body experience. Like myself and Darius are talking about it, sport and the times before, like the times that we've experienced in sport. And when you're thinking back of the moment, you're not sort of watching it through your eyes. You're almost looking like down from above
in the looking glass. Oh yeah, it's so incredible. And I think with races, It will happen once you've done your training, you've nailed your taper, you're feeling fresh, you're in a positive mindset, you're ready to go, and then, just all comes together.
Yeah, very cool.
And you'd never have that flow state unless you just dealt with a hell of a lot of adversity on the other
side. You've got to have the other side to have that.
You've got to earn it.
The yin with the yang.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, you've hurt your ankle twice that you've mentioned. Have you had to overcome any other niggles or?
I've been quite lucky with injuries. I did have, when I first started to get into trail running, fat pad impingement.
Yep.
So I jolted my knee in a sprint and it was so painful. I couldn't walk downstairs and it went on for about 3 months and I was working with the physio. We weren't getting anywhere. And I got an MRI and a cortisone injection and that solved it. But I think from having that during that 3 months where I couldn't run, I signed up at a gym, I got a PT, and I was like, I think I want to try powerlifting type stuff. And she
one
was
extreme
like,
to the other.
All right. Yeah. Cool. So, we did loads of weight, squats, deadlifts, bench, and I loved it. I just really enjoyed doing strength. So kind of carried that on afterwards, and I think that injury leading me to do that is kind of, I will now prioritize strength.
Yep.
I'll do strength twice a week.
It's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's where a lot of people go wrong, isn't it? They prioritize one thing so much. Obviously, if
you're a runner, so you need to prioritize your running, but you can still use strength as like a complementary thing to help your running.
100%. And if you want to keep running, you've got to have the strength to be able to keep running. And it doesn't have to be crazy, anything crazy. Tuesdays I'll try and do a little bit heavier and I'll do more body weight stuff or prehab stuff on a Saturday. But I, always, all right, I'm going to do it. If I don't, if I want to keep running, that's just what the jam is.
And the research will just show like injury rates are just so much less in those that weight train. We're lucky enough to have a guy called Brody on. He's a physiotherapist for runners who spoke about all the science around.
Brody Sharp?
So we had him on the podcast and he spoke, you know, some brilliant things around running, which just made a hell of a lot of sense because you are right. So many people go, right, I'm going to be a runner, therefore all I'm going to do is run. It's like, no.
Yeah.
No.
And like you're saying, for as long as I can, I'm just going to go and run until I'm exhausted. Yeah. And that means I've done a really good job.
That'll do it.
That's it. So how seriously would you say, obviously you do take recovery and things fairly seriously, even that pizza ice cream on a Sunday, again, is a probably important part of your week from a mental state and a physical, you know, state. Training, you know, in the gym, it's very easy not to, having your shorter run. So recovery, you take fairly seriously.
I love recovery. I was having a laugh with someone the other day about having the week off after Gold Coast Marathon. And I was like, I probably won't run. I won't do much. I'm like, what? Really? Are you serious? Like, I love recovery. I 100%. I think if you want to perform really well, you have to rest and recover and try and let your body take in all of the work that you're doing. And I probably sleep like 9 hours
a night.
Sleep's
the best.
Love sleep. Yeah, it is. Sleep is the best. Sleeping, eating. I got a bit worried about how much I was eating a while ago. So I just downloaded an app and put in my calories. And then I was like, I don't need to worry about it.
I'm good to go.
Yeah, I'm eating enough and I feel good. So
I think this has been a big part of the good part of the podcast and having so many athletes on from different modalities and so many like elite athletes to, and all of them are the same. Eating enough, make sure they're recovering, making sure they are sleeping enough. Do you know what I mean? Like prioritizing these things where a lot of general pop people just more is better.
Yeah.
More is better.
We were having a laugh with Sam because we're like, I wonder how many people download the eating apps, the calorie counters, to make sure that they are to eat more. Like, for the opposite reason.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I could probably eat more than that. Yeah. I could eat more.
People are trying to, the common trend is people trying to eat less and less and try to perform better and better.
Yeah. It's just, it's unsustainable.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to describe it.
Yeah.
Again, you're going
and
into
not fun.
No.
Hey, man.
Pizza and ice cream right sounds awesome. I have pizza, homemade pizza every Friday.
Yeah.
So good.
It's so great. And then you can look for, I'm like, man, I really look forward to Sundays. I veg out. I look like a bum. It's brilliant.
Yeah. How good.
All right. So last couple of questions. Where'd you go running around Brisbane?
Oh, my goodness. Dagula National Park. I love it. I have probably ran nearly every trail in there. I ran into the rangers one day and we just got chatting and they're like, and I said, oh, I really love, I run around most of the trails in here. And we got into this bit of a competition and they're like naming trails. Well, have you ran on this one? Yeah. Have you ran on this one? Yep. It's here. What about this one? I'm like, yep, that's here. They're like, man, you have ran on a lot of the trails here.
Whereabouts is that?
So it is from the Gap. Really close to the Gap where we live. And then it's, just this big national park that starts there. If you go to Walkabout Creek, that's a really great starting point. You can kind of do a lap around the reservoir. There's a few short tracks. It's really beautiful.
How short is short?
You can make them as short as you like.
So I'm intrigued.
There's a 5K loop that you can do.
Sold.
You've lost me.
I'm out.
Or you could go up to 100 and whatever kilometers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's just tips give the people. So what's tips to someone you would say that just wants to start running? And then maybe some tips for the girls at the gym doing the half. They're all worried about the half. And then maybe even for some people in the future that run a, you know, want to run further. You know, they're inspired by this. They want to do a little bit more. So what would be your biggest tips?
So tips to start, I would say don't worry about distance and focus on time. So just maybe set a goal to go, I'm going to go for 3 minutes and then I'll walk for a minute, or 3 minutes and walk for 2 minutes. I used to do pole to pole. So yeah. I'd say I'm just going to run to that pole, then I'll walk to the next pole. And then next thing I knew, I had ran 4K into the city. And it's like, yes, I ran 4K into the city. And now I have to get home. Yeah, but cool. Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, even like when I go for my occasional run, even when I want to walk, I won't walk when I'm on my run because I don't want people to think I'm soft.
Yeah, that's it. I'm far like training, bro.
Yeah. Like, don't worry about it. I'm not tired. I'm just part of my training.
This is my recovery.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I live right there.
Just pretend to play with your watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah. So I would say, and I would also say consistency. So just to try and get a bit of a rhythm going and be consistent with it if you were starting. Tips for the half marathoners?
The half marathon. There's heaps of them now. I mean, even people like Ash Pembroke.
Yeah, Lauren.
And Lauren, yeah, like Wibbs. Like never ran really. They've ran here like little bits and they've started and, you know, I think they ran 16 or 18K last week, which is just amazing.
That's perfect too. 4 weeks till Gold Coast.
Yeah, which is fascinating. So what advice would you give them on the...
For the half marathon, I would say just to soak up the atmosphere, to just really enjoy it. It does get hard, but it gets hard for everybody, no matter what level. It is always going to be hard. Just to soak it in. It's such a good atmosphere at Gold Coast, especially when you come to the finish and people are cheering and everyone feels like you could be the winner. You're just going down the chute and there's people on either side. It's magic. So I'd say just to enjoy it and soak up the environment.
Because there's always something magic about suffering together.
Yeah.
I think that's why gyms like this work. Yeah, shared suffering. Yeah, it's something like, right, just like a nod.
Yeah.
Like when we see a male in a shopping centre stereotyping another man with his wife and you're like,
yeah.
Just give me a little nod.
Yeah,
both sat down next to her. It's like, you okay? Yeah. I'm good.
Even on the trail, like my friendships on the trails are quite deep and you share so much. And we often reflect and go, I think it's because we suffer so much together that we're just more open. And
And last one for people that maybe want to go a little bit further.
I would say to go into the national park, like, to look at it as an adventure and not a run.
Yeah,
to just go, I'm going out on an adventure and not get in their head that they have to run the whole time because not everybody does.
Yeah, that's such a good point, because I reckon I've covered some like epic distances on drunken adventures, like way more than what I would do like going for a run.
Yeah.
Plus in trails, your brain's somewhere else a lot of the time. You're focused on your step, you're focused on scenery, what's coming up.
There's so many things. I sometimes think I do try and name 5 things I can see or smell or hear and just think about that, and then that takes up a fair chunk of time. Yeah.
Next minute I run 120 kilometers. I still cannot comprehend.
So that's it. That easy. All right.
Yeah, and that's adventure it. You can do 100 kilometers. Done.
All right. That's fascinating to me. I've really enjoyed it. It's just
I didn't know what to expect, but I enjoyed this. This is why I love the podcast, because it's so like blew my mind. Way more enjoyable than I thought it would be. No, like, disrespect to the runners out there.
It's because you're not a runner, is it?
Yeah.
It's sort of like not...
Oh, I won't take it personally.
not a runner. But I think it's so... You know, we had Lily on last week, who's an elite powerlifter. Then we're going the other side of the spectrum
and
here, you know.
And Lucy Dedman?
Lucy Dedman. Yeah.
We're still fighting.
Punches people for fun.
Yeah, amazing. So where can people keep up to date with you, with your races? Yeah. Where can people find you?
Instagram would be the best one. It is Megatron_Brown. I would say Instagram.
Right, we'll
I do have Strava, but that's probably only for running.
Yeah,
birds.
People love Strava, right? It's like the new, like, oh, what's your Strava?
Strava, it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I thought it was like, for some reason, while I thought it was like people kept saying like stevia. I was like, you're having like your...
Sweetness
when you're running.
How many stevias? Yeah, that's it. But honestly, I just want to thank you for coming on.
No, thank you for having me. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I was a bit nervous, but
Nailed
Fabulous.
It.
Fabulous.
Great. Perfect. Again, thank you for listening. If you can like, share, yeah, send it to someone that might be struggling to run, that wants to run a little bit more. I know I'll be getting my wife to listen to it. She's doing the half as well, so we'll definitely get the others to listen to it. But yeah, thanks very much. And yeah.
Over and out.
See you next week.